Welcome to the New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church Podcast, where we elevate lives through the grace of Christ. We are located in Louisville, Kentucky, and our senior pastor is Jacques Francois. If you would like to connect with us, go to www.mynewlifesda.org. We pray this program is a blessing to you. God bless.
Let us pray as we ask God to bless our time together. Precious Lord, it is such a privilege to be in your presence one more time. We know, Lord, that it's because of your goodness and your grace that we have been afforded this opportunity. We understand that we live from moment to moment. Our breath, O Lord, comes from on high. And every time we exhale, every time we inhale, it is a testament to your goodness and your grace. Lord, we know that you have been better to us than we could have been to ourselves. We know, Lord, that you hold our lives in the palm of your divine hand. It is our prayer and our hope that we will be able to respond to you appropriately, because we know, Lord, that you're always pursuing, you're always chasing us, you're always extending yourself towards us. We know, Lord, that we are the recipients of your sunshine and your rain. The earth benefits from your goodness. And Lord, whether or not we are in your camp or outside, we know too, Lord, that those same benefits are extended to us. So now, Lord, as we set our gaze towards your word, it is our prayer, our hope, it is our wish that you will draw close to us and that you will succor us even closer to thee. Bless us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, I just wanted to invite you to give a special thanks in the chat to our singers, our musicians, and to those who are working in the background to make sure that we're able to bring this special service to you in your living room or wherever you may be watching. I would also like to wish you another Happy New Year. I know that this is the second Sabbath of the new year, the third Sabbath rather, and we are still experiencing the goodness and the grace of our God. We are still on our journey in the book of 1 Chronicles, and I will invite you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 18. And we're going to look at one singular verse, even though we will be looking at the entire chapter, but we want to look at one singular verse, and this will be the launch pad of our sermonic time together. 1 Chronicles chapter 18, and we're looking at verse number 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, "Now after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines." Today I would like to speak to us from the title, Free to Pursue God's Promise. Free to Pursue God's Promise. I wanted to take some time to recalibrate our time together here in the book of 1 Chronicles. We have been journeying through this particular book, and we have been experiencing all of the gems and the treasure that this book has to offer to us. But I wanted to remind us why this particular book is so important to the community of faith. This book is actually a historic book. It is a book that chronicles different events or historical events pertaining especially to the life of David and then to the life of his son, King Solomon. But this book is a book that is looking backward so that God's people can look forward. This book was actually written after God's people had returned back home after some years in exile from their promised land. God had led his people to Canaan, and he had given the land to them, and God's people enjoyed the fruit of that land for many years to come. But God's people had gone through highs and lows as it pertained to their relationship with their God. There were moments that they were with God. There were moments that they were faithful and true to their God. But then there were other moments that they abandoned their God. They had turned themselves over to the worship of other false gods. And through time, God, with his patience had begun to wear out, and God allowed it so that foreign nations would invade the land. And then at the culmination of God's people's apostasy, God allowed the Babylonian kingdom to come and to not only defeat the Israelites, but to also take the land from them and the people from their land. And after so many years in exile, God prepared a way where God's people could return back to their promised land. But by this time, their faith was completely shattered. And God's people are wondering if God still had a divine purpose in mind for his people, and their faith is crying out to God. Their prayers are being lifted to God, and they are wondering if God still had a special place in his heart for them. They wanted to know if the covenant that God had made with Abraham was still in force, and if God still had a glorious future planned for his people. And the chronicler is writing this book to let God's people know that God still had glorious and divine intentions for his people. And what he does is he lifts up the life of David before the people to not only remind God's people of their former glory, but he wanted to let them know that just as glorious as the kingdom of David was, so too they could look forward to another glorious kingdom. They could look forward to a time when God's people were thriving. They could look forward to a time when God's favor was evident and obvious in their lives. And what the chronicler does is he highlights all of the successes of David, and he was not trying to leave out all of the failures of David, but he wanted to lift up all of the successes of David so that God's people would know that they could look forward to a king who would be just as glorious and even more than David. This has some Christological undertones. It has some undertones that points God's people forward to the divine rule of that of none other than Jesus the Christ. And so the chronicler is letting God's people know that just like they experience former glories, they can look forward to future glories. And when we get to this 18th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles, the chronicler is letting God's people know that, number one, God's promise is still in effect, and number two, they are free to pursue God's promise. And so the main message that we would like to conjecture to you today is that we are free to pursue God's promise. But how do we know, or what is it about God's promise that draws us to his divine self? What is it that lets us know that we are free to pursue God's promise? And the first thing that I would like to present to us today is that we are free to pursue a change in our status. Listen to this. The scripture says in verse number 1, of the 18th chapter, it says, "Now after this it came to pass that David smote," or struck, "the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, this is a complete shift in the storyline as it pertains to the relationship that existed between the children of God and that of the nation of the Philistines. You see, the Philistines were a country that was always a thorn in the flesh of God's people. As a matter of fact, the Bible uses this term, subdued. David was able to subdue the Philistines, and this is important because the idea of subduing, it denotes this idea that there was some type of humbling, or the Philistines somehow submitted to David. But that word, even though it is true that there was some type of submission that took place, even though it does communicate the idea that David was able to humble or humiliate the Philistines in some type of way, upon further investigation of the Hebrew word subdue in its original context, it denotes the idea that it was some type of military subjection. It was a military subjection of one who originally started out as an oppressor. Stay with me, children of God. The Philistines at some point were able to dominate God's people, but as a result of this campaign that David carries out, David now somehow turns the table. He somehow flips the script. He started out under the thumb of the Philistines, but now as a result of this military campaign, David now is the one that's in a dominant position, and the Philistines is in a position of submission. They are now submitting to the people that they once dominated. David now is dominating the people who once dominated him, and David flips the script. David changes the status of God's people. David was able to carry out this military campaign, and as a result of this military campaign, the status of God's people changed. They went from the ones who were submissive to the one who were now in a dominant position. Children of God, it is God's desire for us to be able to change our status in life. We start life in a particular position, but if we stick with God, we don't have to stay in that position. We can now change our position. We could change our status. We don't have to stay in the same place that we were when we first started our journey with God. But here's the tension, not in the text, but as we are trying to apply the text to our lives, and that is, we tend to be more concerned with labels than we are with status. Let me explain. You see, David could have easily been satisfied with the fact that he had now ascended to the throne of Israel. David could have been satisfied with the fact that now he wore the label of king. He could have been satisfied with his title. He was the monarch of Israel. He was the ruler of Israel. He was Israel's king. But if we go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, the previous chapter, we would notice, if we would remember, that David started out wanting to build a house for God. He muses to Nathan the prophet by saying to Nathan, he says, "I live in a house made out of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of God is under a tent." Nathan says to David, "All that is in your heart, you need to carry out and actually do." But as Nathan is leaving David's palace, God comes to Nathan and says, "Go back and tell David that I don't want him to build me a house." He says, "Have I ever asked any of the prophets to build me a house? Have I ever complained about the fact that I resided under a tent?" He says to Nathan, "Tell David I do not want him to build me a house. As a matter of fact, tell David that one of his descendants will be the one who will build me a house." He says, "Tell David he wants to build me a house, but I want to build him a dynasty." David, when he realizes that God wanted to do something that was greater than what he wanted to do for God, it gave David a pep in his step. And we see that in chapter 18, because the Bible tells us that David subdued the Philistines. He struck them down. Verse number 2 says that he struck the Moabites, and he also struck a king Hadadezer, who was king of Zobah. David goes on this military campaign, and nowhere in this passage, nowhere in this chapter, do we see God instructing David to go on this military campaign. It is because David understands that God does not want him to remain in his same status. David goes on this military campaign, and the whole idea of this military campaign was to change his status. But listen to this, children of God. We who are the readers of this text, we who are trying to apply this text in our lives, we run into some tension, because God has a purpose for our lives. God wants to expand our lives. God wants to take us to a higher place, but we think about the promise of God in the wrong way. We think if we could obtain the position or the label, then somehow we're living out the promise of God. But I am here to tell you that we are concerned about the wrong thing when God is trying to move us higher and higher. We get concerned about labels. We are concerned about titles. Let me explain to you. See, God told David in chapter 17, he says, "Yes, I understand and I appreciate that you want to build me a house." He says, "But I also want to build you a house." God uses that word house in a different context than how David used it. David used the idea of building God a house in the context of building God a house that was literally made out of wood. God says, "I want to build you a house," but God used that word house in the context of building David a dynasty. Listen, children of God, this is what we do. We concern ourselves with the what. God is concerned about our wares. Let me say that differently. We are concerned about obtaining things, but God is concerned about taking us to certain destinations. Let me illustrate it this way. I never forget when my wife and I got married. She made a statement to me that literally blew my mind. She said to me, our marriage should lead us to the kingdom. She said, as a result of us being married, we should now be focused on helping one another, making it to the eternal kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had never thought about marriage in that manner. I thought about marriage in the context of this is one of the things that I wanted to accomplish in life. When I was young, I would always fantasize of how I wanted my future life to look like. I wanted to have my career, and I wanted to graduate from college, and I wanted to get married, and I wanted to have children. I was focused on obtaining certain things in life. And so when I entered into my marriage, I looked at it as this is something on my checklist that I'm able to check off. I am married now. I have the title of being a husband. I was focused on the title. But my wife blew my mind because she wasn't focused on title. She was focused on destination. Where is this marriage going to take us? And children of God, you and I, we, instead of being focused on titles, we need to be focused on destination. Instead of being focused on labels, we should be focused on where we are going. Let me say it differently this way. Instead of us saying that I want to become a particular thing in life, I need to be focused on where am I right now in relation to where God wants to take me. Some of us says, I want to be a teacher, but what does that mean? Some of us say, I want to be a lawyer, and once we become a lawyer and obtain that title, that's where we start. That's where we stop, rather. Some of us says that I want to be a business leader, or I want to be a business owner, but once we obtain that title, that's where we stop, but we are not focused on where God wants to take us. Where does God want to take us? It may be that God wants to take us to a place where we are now financially secure. It may be that God wants to take us to a place where we are no longer in debt. It may be that God wants to take us to a place where we can provide employment for other people. It may be that God wants to take us to a place where we can leave something behind as a legacy for future generation. That is destination. And children of God, we tend to do that even in the church because sometimes we fight and we struggle for positions even in the church. I want to be the clerk of the church, but then we don't think about what comes next after we become the clerk. I want to be the head deacon. I want to be the head elder. I want to be the head usher. But once we get that title, we feel good about ourselves. But God doesn't want us to be concerned about labels or titles. God is trying to take us somewhere. And as children of God, we should be focused on, I want to be a better Christian once I'm able to go into the house of the Lord. Once I become a follower of Christ, I want to be a better witness. That's destination. I want to know my Bible a little more. I want to know more scripture, and I want to be able to live according to the word of God. I want to make it to heaven once I become a follower of Christ. That is a destination, and it goes beyond a label. Children of God, God is giving us a freedom to change our status. And David understood that because David initiated this military campaign where now he is literally going after all of the surrounding threats to his kingdom. And David understood that God, as a result of wanting to make a dynasty out of his household, God wanted David, or God was giving David the freedom to change his status. Here's the second thing that God is giving us the freedom to pursue. God is giving us the freedom to chase success. In verse number 6, this is after David now smites or overcomes or subdues the Philistines. The Bible goes on to tell us that he strikes the Moabites. He strikes Hadadezer, king of Zobah. He then comes into conflict also with Damascus. And the Bible tells us in verse number 6 that after David is launching out against all of these surrounding nations, the Bible tells us in verse number 6 that David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts. And here it is, thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Now, what I normally do when I'm studying the scripture, especially if I'm going to present that particular passage in sermon form, I try to go to different translations to see how it reads in other translations. See, here in the King James Version, as well as in the New King James Versions, it says, "Thus the Lord preserved David." Other contemporary translations will say, "Thus the Lord protected David." And even other contemporary or modern translations would say, "Thus the Lord delivered David." Some would even say, "Thus the Lord gave David the victory." Now, whenever I see a big discrepancy in how different translations read, what I do then is, that gives me an invitation to dig a little deeper into what the original Hebrew says, because the reason why there is a big wide area of translation around the particular text is because in most cases the Hebrew word there, it denotes different things, right? So what you got to do is you got to dig a little deeper and see what the context of that passage is so that you can ascertain exactly what the scripture is trying to say to the reader. So digging a little deeper, I realized that that word preserve, or that word protect, or that word deliver, depending on what translation you are reading, or that word victory, it comes from the word, the Hebrew word, that is closely associated with another Arabic word, and that word literally means to make wide. So here's how the text probably should have read: thus the Lord made the pathway wide for David wherever he went. This is some beautiful stuff, and let me tell you why, children of God, because it does denote the idea of protection, and it does denote the idea of deliverance. It does denote the idea of giving someone victory, but here it is. There's a certain type of protection that God is giving here. There's a certain type of deliverance that God is offering. There's a certain type of victory that God is giving to David. It is the type of protection that protects someone or delivers someone from any of the distresses that keeps them from fulfilling their objective. Let me say that again. The protection or the deliverance that God is offering is the type of deliverance that gives you a safe place to go as you are pursuing your objective. Whatever obstacle is getting in your way of realizing your objective, that is what God is delivering you from. Let me say that again. Whatever the obstacle is that is keeping you from obtaining your objective, that's the obstacle that God removes
out of your way. Whatever is restricting you from reaching your final destination, that is what God is moving out of your way. Now, here is the tension in the text again as we apply it to our lives, because we are the type of creatures that don't want any obstacles in our lives. We don't like any type of hardship. We don't like any type of pain. We don't like any type of inconveniences. And these are the things that we are always asking God to remove out of our lives. But here it is. If it's not the tension, if it is not the pain, the sorrow, the obstacle, the inconvenience that is keeping you from realizing your final objective, God does not move it out of the way. Let me say that again. I hope you're hearing the word of God today. God doesn't remove all obstacles. God only removes the obstacles that keeps you from realizing the ultimate objective. Let me say that again. There are tensions that we have to live with in our lives. We won't be absolved from all tensions in life. One time I was listening to a preacher, and the preacher was talking about the ills and the dangers of prosperity preaching. He said, it can't be everybody's season at the same time. God does not resolve all of the tension in our lives. And here is what our prayer should be. Our prayer should not be, Lord, remove all the obstacles. But our prayer rather should be, Lord, remove the obstacles that is hindering me from reaching my ultimate objective. Oh, my Lord. There's a songwriter that said, Lord, you don't have to move my mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. See, that mountain may not be the obstacle that's going to keep you from reaching your ultimate objective. Why? Because if you have the strength to climb it, you can still reach your ultimate objective. But God focuses on the objective, or the obstacles rather, that keeps us from reaching our ultimate objective. I asked my daughter, could I use her in this illustration? She gave me permission to do so. My baby girl comes to me one day. She's complaining about the school that she attends. She wants to take AP courses, but the school that she attends does not offer AP courses. So she was like, Daddy, you know, it's not fair. I want to take AP courses, and the school I go to doesn't offer it. Is it possible I can go to another school? Of course, the answer was no. The school you're at is where your mother and I wants to be. Now, I said, now, if you find a way to go to another school, just know that your mother and I's money is going to this particular school. Amen. So I asked her, I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, where are you trying to go in life? I said, what you trying to do? What's your ultimate goal? She says, well, I want to be a doctor. I said, okay. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, if you don't take any AP courses, will that prevent you from becoming a doctor? She thought about it, and she said, no, it won't prevent me from becoming a doctor. And here's my point, children of God. She sees the fact that she can't take any AP courses as an obstacle, and it very well may be, but it's not an obstacle that's going to keep her from realizing her ultimate goal of becoming a doctor. And children of God, this is what I want to tell you. See, we have to chart our course. We're trying to figure out how we're going to make it to our ultimate objective. And for many of us who are followers of Jesus the Christ, our ultimate objective is to receive salvation and to make heaven our home. And as we chart our course, we have to realize that there will be obstacles, but not all the obstacles will keep us from reaching our ultimate goal. We have to ask God, Lord, remove the obstacles that's going to keep me from making it to your eternal kingdom. Because God does not absolve us of all the obstacles. If we look to the gospel, we will realize that even in the gospels, even after Jesus performed miracles, even after Jesus raised the dead, that the gospels does not answer or absolve every single tension in life. Look at the woman who had the issue of blood, for instance. The Bible says that she had this issue of blood, and she had it for 12 years. And the Bible says that she spent all her money until the point where she had no more money on doctors who could never give her a cure. But when King Jesus came into town, the Bible says that she figured, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. And the Bible says that she pushed her way through that crowd and she touched the hem of God's garment and she felt in herself that she was healed. But guess what? She has spent all her money. Jesus healed her, but he never solved the problem of the fact that now she was completely broke. Jesus does not remove all obstacles. Look at the woman who was at the well with Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus says, I'll give you some water that if you drink, you'll never thirst again. She said, well, Lord, give me this water that I will drink it so that I would never thirst again, nor have to return back to this well. And Jesus says, go get your husbands. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you have rightly spoken because you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. The Bible says she goes. She gets the men of the city and tells them, I saw a man who have told me everything that I've ever done. They came back, and not only did she accept Jesus, but they also accepted Christ. But guess what? She still had to live with the embarrassment of once being married to five different husbands. God does not absolve all of our obstacles. Children of God, God focuses on the obstacles that will keep us from making it to the kingdom. Listen to this. I got to say this before I move on to my next point. Do you realize that what David was doing was very strategic? David was literally going and securing security for his nation by targeting the nations who were of a specific threat. Listen to this. There were other nations that surrounded Israel that posed a threat to David. But who does he target? He targets the Philistines. He targets the Moabites. He targets King Hadadezer of Zobah. And he targets those who are Damascus of Syria. Listen to this. David was very strategic in his movement. David understood that he needed to secure security for his kingdom if he was going to live out the ultimate promise of God, which was his household would be converted to a dynasty. Children of God, do you realize that as you read 1 Chronicles, that the next couple of chapters before we're introduced to King Solomon, we see David now doing everything in his power to secure everything that his kingdom would need so that his household will become a dynasty one day? He goes to war with the nations that pose the greatest threat. Then we see him doing other things, and everything that David does is so that he could secure the promise that God made to him that he was going to be a dynasty. David was no longer satisfied with the notion that he was the king of Israel. David was not going to be satisfied until he did everything in his power to secure God's promise. So God is letting us know in this passage of scripture today that, number one, we are free to change our status in life. God doesn't want us to stay where we are. God wants to take us even higher, and God wants to take us to some places that we never thought that we would go. Secondly, God is giving us the freedom to chase success. Children of God, God wants us not to focus on labels, but rather destination. God is not concerned about the what. God is concerned about the where. and we should be concerned about the where as opposed to the what. And here is the last thing that I would like to propose to you. God gives us the freedom to contribute strategically. Here's a few verses that I want us to look at, verses 7 through 11. The Bible says, and David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Likewise, from Tibhath and from Shun, cities of Hadadezer, brought David very much brass, where Solomon made the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. Now when Tou, king of Hamath, heard how David had smitten all of the hosts of Hadadezer of Zobah, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to inquire of his welfare and to congratulate him because he had fought against Hadadezer and struck him. For Hadadezer had war with Tou and with him all manner of vessels of gold and silver and brass. Look at verse number 11. Then also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and from Amalek. Children of God, I don't know if we see exactly what is happening here. As David is going out to battle, as David is carrying out his military campaign, as David is enjoying the spoils of war, David does not use these spoils for his own benefit. What is David doing? David is accumulating all this brass that he got from King Hadadezer of Zobah. David is using all of the gold and the silver that he got from the other surrounding nations that he went to war with. And what does he do? He dedicates these items to the Lord. The Bible gave us a clue in verse number 8. The Bible tells us that some of these materials that David accumulated were materials that his son, King Solomon, used to make the temple that he would eventually build. And the reason why this is so important, because in the previous chapter, in chapter 17, notice what David's heart desire originally was. David wanted to build God a house. But God said to David, instead it's going to be one of your descendants. I don't want you to build me a house. I'm going to focus on making you a dynasty, but I need you to focus on making sure that you experience the promise of becoming a dynasty. Children of God, I heard a sermon some years ago, and I thought it was fascinating. You know how when we pray, we're always asking God for certain things, and there are certain answers that we're hoping that God would give us. And we have taught, and I've heard this many times, that there are three answers to our prayers. God will either say yes, God will either say no, or God will say wait. Right? But I heard a sermon, I heard a preacher say that there are actually four answers that God gives to our prayers. God will either say yes, God will either say no, God will either say wait, and here's the fourth one, God will either say not you. When David wanted to build a house for God in chapter 17, God said to David, not you. I was thinking, I said, Lord, what kind of tension did that cause in the heart of David? How he wanted to do this great and astronomical thing for you, and you basically said, that's a good thing, it's going to happen, but it's not going to be you. Children of God, do you realize that just because it's not you who is going to carry out the strategy, we can still contribute to the strategy? Let me explain. Notice what David does. God told David in chapter 17 that it was not going to be him that was going to build the temple. But David still takes it upon himself to contribute to the strategy. David is not going to be the one that's going to build a temple. But what does David do? David accumulates all of the material that is going to be needed for the building of the temple. Children, do you realize that it takes some serious humility when God says to you, you're not going to be the one to carry it out, but you got to help make sure that it gets done. You may not be the one that's going to be the preacher. You may be the one that goes and prays for the individual. You may not be the one that's going to help someone come to Christ, but you may be the one to give them that tract or that Bible study. It may not be you, but you can still contribute. Can I be honest with you today? Every time I walk into this building, one of the things that I always do, and it has become a ritual, and honestly, saints, I can't tell you why I do it. Every time I walk into the building, I always go into the foyer section of the church, and I look up at the wall, and I look at the pictures of all the pastors before me. Because I realize that I am standing on their shoulders. And I understand that every person that has served this congregation has contributed to the life of this congregation. It's not just me. And guess what? I'm making my contribution right now. And the truth of the matter is, children of God, one day there's going to be a picture next to mine. And a picture after that. And a picture after that if God delays his coming. I am just here to make my contribution. I may not be the one that realizes the ultimate destination of this congregation, but I am a contributor to that destination. And children of God, let me tell you something. We have to have that same attitude because it may not be us. Can I be a little more honest with you today? When I was appointed to this congregation, my president told me that he wanted me to grow this congregation to 500 members. That's my mandate. And children of God, I realize I may not be the one, but I can contribute. You know what my greatest heart desire is? One day I want to be able to come back to this congregation 15, 20 years after I finish pastoring this congregation. And I want to see what the church looks like. I want to see the makeup of the congregation. I want to see where God will bring this congregation. And I want to be able to sit in the pews. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be called to the front. Nobody got to call my name. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to have the joy of looking around and seeing what God has done in the life of the church and have the satisfaction of knowing that I was able to contribute. Children of God, God wants to take us higher and higher. God actually wants us to pursue his ultimate promise. God is giving us the freedom to at least contribute to what he is trying to accomplish in our lives. Do you understand that it may not be you? It may not be you who is going to accomplish the ultimate goal that God has in mind, but you can contribute. You can give. You can sacrifice. And God has given us freedom today. Just because he told us it's not us doesn't mean that we cannot help. Children of God, I want you to understand today that God has an ultimate promise for us that he would love for us to pursue, and he has given us the freedom to do so. And can I just press a little closer before I take my seat? This idea that God wanted to make a dynasty out of David, that resonated for me, and let me tell you why. Because I realize that it's not just about me. It's also about my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. Children of God, we have an opportunity to create a dynasty within our own context. Do you realize that when you make the decision to live your life according to the mandates of God, it will have an impact on other people who are around you? It's not you only who will benefit from being a follower of God. It's not you only who will benefit from studying your word. It is not you only who will benefit from staying on your knees and praying to God. It is not you only who will benefit from a life of worship and sacrifice to God. You will have an impact on other people around you. And as a result of the life that you live, they will want to pray as well. They will want to live for God as well. They will want to search these fragile pages that we call the Bible for themselves. They too will want to live a life of worship and sacrifice. God is trying to do something in us that will impact this entire globe. But children of God, we have to understand that God has unleashed us to pursue his promises. Don't be scared of changing your status. Don't be afraid of moving from one point in your life to the next point. Don't be afraid of the journey and where it will take you, because I promise you that God is very much concerned about the destination. Don't stop when you reach that title. Don't stop when you get that label. Don't stop when people give you accolades for what you have accomplished thus far. Keep pressing on, because there is more that God wants you to do. God wants you to have the freedom to change your status. And I want you to know that God is giving you the freedom to chase success, but success is defined by God. And here it is, children of God. God is going to make your pathway wide. God is going to make sure that you have some wiggle room to accomplish all that you can accomplish. God is going to remove all of the obstacles that's going to keep you from reaching your ultimate destination. God is going to allow you and give you the strength to live in tension with life. God is going to give you the resolve that you need to look that thorn in the flesh and say, I'm going to keep on moving no matter what. God will give you the freedom, and here it is, and I'm going to take my seat. Do you understand that just because it's not you, God can still accomplish great things through you? Just because you may not be the one to build a building doesn't mean that you cannot contribute the material. Just because it's not you that's going to grow the ministry doesn't mean that you cannot sacrifice for the ministry. It may not be you. But guess what? God has given you the power and the strength to contribute. And children of God, God is trying to do something so great in us that it will truly impact the world. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest tragedies, and you see it all the time, you have parents who live their lives, but as their children are getting older, they start thinking about the spiritual consequence or the spiritual ground that their children will have to walk on. And then all of a sudden now they want to get them in church, they want to get them some Bible studies, they want to get them baptized. And children of God, that's good. But let me tell you how you impact a generation. You impact that generation by you living the life. Live the life in front of the children. They're watching. Live the life in front of your grandchildren. They are watching. Live the life in your community. They are taking notes. Live the life on your job. I promise you, you'll have an impact. If you live the life, God will make a dynasty out of your household. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, today we are free to pursue your promise. Lord, we can change our status. We can chase the success that you want to give us. We can contribute to the strategy. Lord, we all have something to do. Let us not be content, oh God, where we are, because you want to take us higher. You want to take us into places and spaces, oh God, that we would have never been invited into had it not been for your divine hand. And Lord, most of all, you want to marshal us into your heavenly kingdom. You want us to feel what it's like to walk through those pearly gates, to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many. We want to hear those words, welcome. Welcome to eternal life. Welcome to the city of gold that is on top of the hill. Welcome to the place that no human hands has built. Welcome. Lord, we look forward to that day when there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. We are looking for all these things to be done away with. We look forward to when the earth will be remade anew. We look forward to the day when we won't even need the sunshine because your brightness will fill the city. We look forward to that day, oh God, when we will be able to play with the lions and parlay with the lambs. God, we know that there is an ultimate destination as to where you want to take us. But Lord, give us the courage to pursue every single promise that you have rendered to us. And may we never be satisfied with where we are now. But Lord, may we seek to climb Jacob's ladder higher and higher. Help us to reach for that rung that is up above until we get to our ultimate destination. And I pray, Lord, that we will endeavor to live the life that you would have us to live around all those who are a part of our circle of influence, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, whether it's our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, even our fellow church members. Pray, God, that you would put that on the inside of our bosom. And Lord, when all is said and done, may you too be able to point to our name and the great household that came as a result of our campaign. Lord, we thank you for all that you do and who you are. Bless your people in a very special way. And Father God, as we render this word in the name of Jesus, there may be one who realized that they need to come closer to their God, who realized that where they are, they can't stay because they need to keep climbing to higher ground. And they understand that the way to do that is to put their hand in the hand of Jesus and to endeavor in their heart and in their soul that they will make heaven their home. But Lord, we are tied down by the vicissitudes of this life. Lord, the fetters of sin has wrapped itself around us, and we are having a difficult time breaking free. I pray, God, that you would give us release, that you would give us victory, that you would give us your overcoming power, O God, and help us, O Lord, in our journey as we seek to be one with thee. Pray, God, for that individual who needs to press closer. And Lord, under the sound of my voice, I'm just praying that that individual, if you realize that you need Jesus in a profound way, in a way that you don't have him right now, you need to experience his salvation, his love, his grace, his mercy, his power to overcome. We're asking that you would journey with us in this time of pandemic. Go to our website, www.mynewlifesda.org, and click on that button at the bottom of the page that says connect. And it will take you to a place where you can then fill out a form and let us know whether you need Bible study, whether you need baptism, whether you need special prayer, or if you want to change your membership to the New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church. Please go to that space so that we can partner with you and help you on your next leg of this arduous journey. It will be a sweet and rewarding journey, but it will be difficult. But we are here so that we can journey together as we keep our hands in the hands of God. If that's your desire, please do that. www.mynewlifesda.org. Click on that button that says connect and let us know how we can journey with you. And Lord God, as you continue to impress upon our hearts and our minds, today, if we hear your voice, may we not harden our hearts. This is our prayer in the wonderful and loving name of Jesus. Let all God's people say, amen and amen.